This is the Thriving Dentist Show with Gary Takacs, where we help you develop your ideal dental practice, one that provides personal, professional, and financial satisfaction.
Welcome to another edition of the Thriving Dentist Show. I'm Gary Takacs, your show host. My guest on today's show is my longtime friend, Dr. Bill Williams. You know, Bill and I have known each other for many, many, many years. He's a returning guest on the show. However, this time we have a brand new topic, and the topic is how to become a $10,000 a day dentist, $10,000 a day. And let me emphasize that what Bill's going to share with you is how a dentist by himself or herself can consistently produce $10,000 a day, not including hygiene production or any other ancillary services that are going on in the practice. The really cool thing about the information that Bill's going to share with you is he's going to share with you how to be very, very productive, yet still run your practice in such a way where you take care of patients the way you would like to be taken care of. You know, the reality is many dentists suffer from a high overhead. One of the reasons why your overhead is so high is that you're not producing enough to support the overhead in your practice. If you can become a $10,000 a day dentist, you will absolutely break through that barrier and you will be able to support the overhead and bring your overhead down to the level that it should be. You're really going to enjoy this interview with Dr. Bill Williams on how to become a $10,000 a day dentist. Before we get to that, though, we have another Let's Ask David segment. The David, of course, is Dr. Dave, my longtime friend, Dr. David Hornbrook. In this Let's Ask David question, David's going to share with you how to blend in access holes for screw retained implants or for endodontically treated teeth. David's got some great tips for you to really finish that restoration and blend in those access holes. Here's that Let's Ask David segment. Dr. Hornbrook, this is a follow-up question from our Let's Ask David segment last week about decision-making between screw-retained versus cemented crowns for dental implants. And the question is, talk to me about how I can better blend in the access hole for screw-retained implants.
Okay, great. Good question. And that's going to apply to screw-retained implants as well as access through a crown for endodontically treated teeth. This is basically the same thing. You got a crown back there. It fits good. It looks good. The color is great. Except now you got this hole in the center. And most of the time there's metal around that, especially if it's either you or the endodontist cut through a PFM and they've got that metal. So, I can show you a bunch that I've done in the past where I look back there and I tell a patient, now I know that little circle in the middle does not match the rest of the tooth, but no one will notice it, right? Someone's saying, oh, really? That doesn't look like the crown you did before. And I got to explain to them that, you know, there's a screw hole that we got to get this out of. Or, again, endodontically treated teeth where the endodontist fills it up, and it usually is gray. Yeah. So we've all been very frustrated with that. And so the way I do it on screw retain, and let's do screw retain first, is to cover the screw hole, I do like to use Teflon tape, and you can either buy it from a dental manufacturer or you can go to Home Depot and buy it. It's just plumber's tape. It's not actually called plumber's tape, but plumbers use it when they're putting metal fittings together. Teflon tape, I cut a little bit of it. I shove it into the screw hole only to cover basically the head of the screw. Just so if I ever have to get through that, I can cut through my composite. I see that bright white, and I can retrieve that. Some dentists are even using blue Teflon tape. Again, I leave it white because I think it opaques out that screw head. So I put a little Teflon tape down there. Now, the next thing I have to worry about is the metal. And usually you'll see some sort of, on the titanium base, you'll see a metal chimney or channel that goes down that crown. And no matter what composite you use, you're going to get a grayness from that channel. So what I do is I do bond my access opening in because I don't like micro leakage. So if it's zirconium, I'll clean it with a zirconium cleaner around the edge. If it's Emax then or a PFM, I will etch with hydrofluoric acid. And then I do use one of the new universal adhesives down there because it will bond to zirconium because of the multiphosphate group primer. It will bond to metal a little bit. It will bond a little bit to the ceramic. And so I get a better seal, so I'll apply that. And then I use an opaquer, and the opaquer that I found has the most opacity in the thinnest environment because I don't want to fill that whole thing with opaquer. It's made by Kerr, and it's called Color, and it's Color with a K. Color Plus, and it's the sign plus, not P-L-U-S. Color Plus. And I use the white or the A1. I cover my metal. That's light curable. I light cure it. Then I go with a dentin shaded. Now I'm just dealing with a filling that has dentin and enamel. I take a dentin shaded microhybrid. I fill it up to about a millimeter from the surface. And I cure that. Then I put a very translucent enamel layer on top of that. Carve up the excess or adjust it if you have to do it with a diamond. But what I'm seeing now is a lot of these, I can't even tell where the excess. Not all of them. They're not perfect by any means. But a lot of these, I can't even tell where the excess is, which is a lot different than I did in the past. And as I mentioned earlier, it applies to endo excess as well because you got a PFM a lot of the times. And you got this very ugly hole in the middle of this PFM. Same thing. You don't put Teflon tape in there. You go ahead and etch and use an adhesive agent. And then you go ahead and take that opaquer after you put the adhesive, whether it's universal or another type of dental primer. You go ahead and light cure that, and you take that opaquer and you just cover the metal. Because that's what the lab is doing. Is they made the PFM initially. They put bright white or A1 or something opaque and dentin shaded over the metal. Cover the metal, then go with a dentin and a translucent enamel.
I mentioned in the intro that my guest in today's Thriving Dentist Show is my longtime friend, Dr. Bill Williams. Hey, Bill, how are you?
Hey, Gary. Good to hear from you again, sir.
Oh, man. I've been looking forward to this. We've had this scheduled for a couple weeks, and I have had this highlighted on my schedule. You know, if you're new to the Thriving Dentist Show, Bill and I have been friends. I was trying to figure out this morning on my run. I was going back and doing some math, but we've been friends for over 35 years.
1985 up in Eugene, Oregon.
Yeah, so can you believe it's been that long?
Yeah, I can believe it because you've gotten so much further down the road than I have, and we still are at it. We're still beating the same bushes.
We've been friends longer than some of our listeners have been alive.
Gosh.
Hey, how's that for characterizing that? But yeah, Bill and I have been friends for many, many years. I count him as a dear friend, a mentor, and a colleague. And we are going to talk about a topic that you are passionate about and I am passionate about. It's how to become a $10,000 a day dentist.
What do you think? That has a nice round number ring to it.
Yeah, you know, and you and I have a common friend and mentor in Dr. Omer Reed.
Omer Reed, my buddy.
Yeah, longtime friend. You know, Dr. Reed, I give him credit for this. He heard it somewhere else, and he would attribute it somewhere else. But Dr. Reed, you know, once said that if it's been done before, it must be possible.
I latched onto that back in my first hearing of that from him back in, I don't know, 1982 or 3, maybe 81.
Isn't that a hopeful concept, though? If it's been done before, it must be possible.
It set me on a journey to try to find out the impossible dreams that people had and find out where they found them the first time. So, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, you know, it's inspirational. It's hopeful. It's a compass point. You know, it kind of points us to mentors, doesn't it? And you know, there's many of our listeners will be thinking about that. You know, $10,000 a day dentist. And let me just clarify that very specifically. We're talking about a dentist by himself or herself producing $10,000 a day, not a practice that doesn't include hygiene, that doesn't include all the ancillary things that go along with a practice production. We're talking about the dentist himself or herself producing $10,000 a day. And I know that there's going to be some listeners that think, oh my gosh, that's not possible. I can't do that. In their own experience, they don't deem that as possible. You meet dentists like that, correct?
Every day I talk to people that say, do you really do those numbers? And I go, what numbers? And they clarify what they're asking about. And I go, yeah, that's a daily thing for the last 15 years. Every day I work.
Well, so you just glossed over that very quickly, but I want to repeat that. This is something you have been achieving consistently for over 15 years.
That's right. When I first set a goal to reach $10,000 a day, I was in a mastermind back in Dallas, Texas, and I was doing $8,000 or $9,000 a day. And I go, I got to get over that hump because my mentor is doing it, so I want to do it. And so I looked at what he was doing, and I followed Omer's advice, you know, watch people that are successful and do what they do. And I did $10,000 that year for the first time, average every day I worked. So that was the first time, and we never went down below it, which was the most unique thing. I would say that every month we were always averaging over 10 a day, never had a downtime. So it was consistency that we built into the strategic plan.
Just to kind of amplify what you're talking about, Bill, I want to use another example. My dentist business partner, Dr. Paul Nielsen, Paul has consistently averaged over $10,000 a day in production for the last 4 years consistently. Now, he doesn't have 15 under his belt like you, but
he's a young guy, too.
He's a young guy. And so there's two examples at different stages in their career. Bill, you're silver haired. Distinguished. I might add. You're a distinguished silver-haired dentist. Paul's a young dentist. So lest some of our listeners be thinking, well, that Bill Williams is unique, and yeah, maybe he can do it, but you know, I don't know if you know others can do it. Well, here's a young dentist, Dr. Paul Nielsen, earlier in his career, you know, achieving that. So again, I hope I say that not to boast. I hope that's a inspirational reference, and I hope it inspires our listeners. And Bill, I want to start with this. There might be some cynics. I don't think we have many cynics that listen to the podcast, but there might be some.
1.2% of dentists are cynics.
Okay. So we have listeners in 168 countries. So statistically, dentists are people too, right, Bill? Right?
They're very much people with all their frailties and faults and...
So statistically, 1.2% of our listeners are cynics. So let's address that. There might be a cynic to think, well, this is all about money, and I'm not all about money. I care about my patients, and I'm more about taking care of my patients than the money. If there are some that think about that, the 1.2%, you've got a wonderful part of the book. By the way, I'm holding your book in my hand, titled The $10,000 a Day Dentist, 50 Ways to Create a Highly Successful Practice. I'm holding that in my hand. And one of the chapters is about, you characterize five different types of dentists. We'll talk about that in more detail in a minute. But the first type you talk about is the servant dentist. Would you talk a little bit about that concept and what servant dentist means?
Right. In the book, Dr. Alex Middleton is a guide, a mentor to five dentists, and he interacts with them in a different way based on how they are in their career, how many years, how much experience, and where they are along the pathway. And Dr. Edward Boyle is the servant dentist that I identify as a dentist who he really is looking to buy back his time. He wants to give back to the community, and one of his chief motivators is to be able to fund mission trips, to be able to fund good works in the community locally as well as internationally on travel mission trips to third world countries. So one of the things that I talk about is you have to appeal to each type of dentist, and if you're going to be a teacher, mentor, a guide, everybody's not going to aspire to do the same thing, reach the same goals. And so the servant dentist is looking to buy back his time. He wants to be productive enough during the time he works so that he can take off plenty of time to go on his missions.
Yeah, you can't give from an empty wagon.
That's correct. And so, you know, that actually happened to me. One of the things that set me into a freedom mode was that I wanted to go on a mission to Kenya. And I had a solo practice. And so one of the situations I developed was I found an associate and hired them before I needed one because I wanted to have somebody cover the practice. And it was my first associate in my new Suwannee practice where I started over at age 48. So it took me a couple of years before I got busy enough to get the first associate. And I was able to market them well enough to get busy. They didn't take any of my patients from me. They just basically added a practice to mine that one first year. And I was able to go on missions. I bought back my time.
Mm. Yeah, I love that concept. You know, I imagine that many of our listeners would like to become a servant dentist and to do more charitable work, whether it be in their local community, you know, right in their backyard, maybe in their national community, maybe there's opportunities in their country, and maybe there's those that want to spread it globally and do that internationally. But the reality is that you can't give from an empty wagon. And so what a tremendous motivator to become productive enough when you work so that you can take the time to go do that.
You know, what we noticed, Gary, was that God honors those people who give back, because every month that we went on a mission, we always did the same amount of dentistry as if we worked for full 4 weeks. If we worked 3 weeks a month, we still made as much as we did working most 4 week months, because God honors us for those that we serve.
Right. You know, Paul, many of our listeners will know that in my practice at Life Smiles, we have two dentists, Dr. Paul Nielsen, Dr. Tim Schmidt. And by design, each doctor works a 3-day week. Paul works Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Tim works Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And we really do that for two very strategic reasons. One is the three of us, Paul, Tim, and I, all have four kids. Now, my kids are adults. Paul's and Tim's are much younger. But one of the things I wanted them to do is to have more family time. And so one of the reasons why they work 3 days a week is so they can have abundant family time. And the second reason is they're taking a massive amount of CE, somewhere between 200 and 300 hours of CE a year. And, you know, the only way they can do that and not take CE at the expense of their family is to work that 3-day a week schedule. So now they work a 3-day a week clinical schedule. They have time for their family. They have time to take a massive amount of CE, you know, early in their career. It's important. And it's not coming at the expense of their family. Well, Bill, you characterize five different types of dentists in the book. We just talked about the service dentist. The servant dentist. I'm going to walk through the other four. Would you take a minute and kind of give a paragraph or two that kind of describes it? The second one is, you define as the peak performance dentist.
Yeah, that is a dentist who is a hot shot, you might call it,
a gunner,
what I call the gunner, the aspiring superstar. There are a lot of those out there, and we need those in our profession to actually lead us, because they're the ones who do the breakthrough technological things in practice management.
They're the Usain Bolts, right?
That's Usain Bolts. They run fast. And then the next one is the young dentist, a new graduate, as somebody who's right out of school. And my goal for those guys when I'm coaching is saying, this is what you do to start right. You know, there's a wrong way to start and there's a right way to start. And so they need a good beginning. The starting gun needs to go off, and they need to be ready at the starting line to keep up with Usain, because he's going to be running fast.
I heard a fun analogy about that recently, Bill, and I think some of our listeners will relate to that. Imagine an 18-year-old about to enter college or university, right? We remember those days. I mean, it's a long time ago for you and I, but I can still remember that. And imagine the 18-year-old that didn't have any preparation. They just show up for the first day of classes. They were accepted, so they were academically talented enough to get accepted to that university, but they didn't do any prep. And here they show up, and they're just going to kind of wander their way through that. Versus, you know, the 18-year-old that shows up having spent some preparatory time preparing, you know, for that first year in college. I would politely suggest that they'll probably have radically different experiences based on the preparation. And I'd like to think that in the chapter where you talk about the young dentist, you talk about how to come in on the wings of your colleagues. And what a great concept. I would think that applies very intimately to our listeners. We have a lot of younger dentists, you know, even pre-dental and dental students listening to the podcast, that they're going to be miles ahead because of listening to things like you and I are talking about right here.
Yeah, and I've got two gems that I'll throw out for the group that's pre-dental or in dental school already. Two things. Go work for a dentist as a chairside assistant on your off time before you go to dental school or during dental school, and you'll double your production. As soon as you get out of school, you will know the tricks by watching somebody. Number two is go on a mission trip to Africa or someplace that's going to do a lot of extractions, you're going to amass so much skill with your anesthesia and your extraction technique that you will be automatically the best in your whole class, maybe even better than most of the seniors in the school. Because I've seen it happen with dentists we took to Africa. They came back and were just powerful, and the senior students were just begging them to come and help them in clinic.
Wow, what great takeaways right there! Hey, the next category you talk about is the opposite end of the spectrum, the mature dentist.
And that was me when I started writing this book. I was a mature dentist, and my goal was to figure out how to finish well. And so, you know, I think about all my friends who are retiring, but then they go back to work a couple of years later because they didn't have enough to make it. And that's true. That's happening right now. A lot of my friends, they live long enough to be able to retire. You know, we've lost 5% of our class to death because of age. And I'm 68, and a lot of my classmates were older than me, it turned out. So they've been in practice till a lot older than I am. So everybody needs to finish well in their career. And if you have a plan, it can do it. And so Steve Blake is the dentist that we write about. And he really does a great job of taking that last 5 years and doubling the value of his practice. And that's the goal I've got for folks that I work with, is take what you've got and double it so that your nest egg is twice as big that last 5 years.
Yeah, instead of kind of fizzling out in your career, you're going to finish strong.
Ramp it up, not fizzle out.
You know, those that are regular listeners of the podcast know that I'm a runner and a triathlete. And I remember my first half marathon that I ran. I just didn't quite. I had only been running about 3 months and I didn't have my conditioning, didn't have my training down. And I faded in the last 3 miles. I finished, but I was proud to finish, but I faded. And last December, I ran a PR in the half marathon. I ran a 151, and I was very proud of the fact that my mile pace in the last 3 miles were as fast as my mile pace in the first 3 miles. So I felt pretty good about that. But finish strong. Finish strong. Hey, you've got a fifth category of dentist, and that's the local dentist. Who's the local dentist?
Well, I call him Jack Mudd. Kind of a tongue-in-cheek. He's a stick in the mud.
Okay.
And it's the category of dentists who are doubters. They are people who clump together and kind of hang out and doubt that other people are doing better than them. They don't want to share.
We see them at dental society meetings sometimes.
They don't want to share with other people. They kind of want to just hang around and keep the numbers to themselves because they're not really proud of what they're doing. And they don't want anybody else to know that they're not doing that well, or they're doing very well and they don't want to share because they don't want anybody to encroach on their success. So we tend to want to appeal to every dentist as we work. And so one of my major joys is to take a doubter and turn them into somebody who's more of a servant or more of a peak performer, you know, because you can have a mindset shift. Mm. You're not locked into one way of thinking. If you can be exposed to enough positive people, you can become positive also.
I often talk about the difference between being an abundance-minded thinker versus a scarcity-minded thinker. And the truth is, someone can make a shift from scarcity mentality to abundance mentality. It's not easy. And depending on how ingrained that mindset is, it isn't easy to do, but it can happen, can it?
That's right.
Yeah.
We see it happen, and a lot of times they had the abundance mentality when they were younger, but they never saw success, and so they became jaded to the potential because they never saw it.
Kind of beat
but
up.
But if you can show it, yeah, beat them up. Society beat them up. People threatening them with lawsuits might beat them up. That's a big one I find. If people get threatened by patients, they go into a shell. They won't try things new because they got beat up one time. A lot of things beat up patients. I mean, beat up dentists, and patients is one of them. The dental societies were one of them. The state boards, maybe one of them.
Sure. Insurance companies.
Oh, that's a big one. Yeah, insurance companies just demand that you do nothing but the worst, the least.
Oh, don't get me started on that one.
This is a positive hour.
That's right. In the back of your book, you've got a number of appendices, and appendix number 2 is a wonderful short segment titled 50 Ways to Become a $10,000 a Day Dentist. And you've divided it into 5 different categories. Let's go through those quick. And in each one of them, there's many references, and you kind of point them back to different parts of the book to amplify that particular category. And let's kind of go through these in order. The first category that you talk about is mindset. Kind of give us the 30,000-foot view overview of what mindset's all about.
Man, mindset is where you come from, what you believe, what your staff believes, what you focus on. All the things that have to do with the paradigm that you believe is how you operate, how the dentistry operates, what's possible in the world. If somebody's got a mindset that's in the right place, they're going to be able to accomplish a lot more. But if their mindset is in the wrong place, what we call below the line versus above the line, you're going to actually have struggle when somebody introduces you to something new. You know, you'll be a doubter. You're not going to be somebody who says, I can do that. It's possibility thinking that starts it off. And, you know, as I was writing the 50 ways to be successful and grow your practice, I just wrote 50 things down, and then I kind of subcategorized them based on kind of how they worked their way into my thinking. And mindset was a group. And that group of things involved not just how you thought, but it's how you set up your day and how you focus on approaching dentistry. For instance, like same-day dentistry is one that's huge for everybody right now. You go into the practice with a schedule that says, I'm going to have $7,000 on the books today. And then with the same-day dentistry concept, you look for things to do during the day that will increase the productivity and reach your goal, if you're a 10,000 goal, which mine is always that. And I say, is there anybody in hygiene that wants to come over into my schedule? Is there any toothache emergency that calls that would like to be seen today? Is there anybody who's in my operatory right now who would like to do 2 quadrants instead of 1? And before it's over, I always increase my productivity by 50% on average every day.
Bill, we didn't talk about this ahead of time, but you know, in the downturn, the downturn in the economy in 2008 and 2009, I have some hard data from our practice, and I'd like to share that with you and our listeners to amplify what you're saying about same day dentistry. In 2008 and 2009, we have copious records. One of the reasons I love to have a practice is to be able to track the numbers and the records, and we were only scheduled to goal in 2008 and 2009, 20% of the time, 20% of the time. Now, that's not very good, frankly. That's not good.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Well, it was hard to get people to say yes back then.
But it's not the end of the story. Because by embracing this concept of same-day dentistry, by the time we got to the end of the day, in 08 and 09, you know, a brutal economic cycle, we were able to achieve goal 80% of the time, which you know, took a poor performing KPI, key performance indicator, 20% of the time when we showed up in the morning, but got to the finish line 80% of the time. And by the way, once you develop those skills, it's kind of like having a tool in your toolkit that you can pull out when needed. And to this day, we are able to pull out those skills with our team. And if we're not at goal when we start at 7 in the morning, we get there by the time we finish at 4 in the afternoon. And it's so important. You give some wonderful tips in that chapter about same day dentistry. Hey, the second category among those 5 in the 50 ways to become a $10,000 a day dentist is team. Talk a little bit about team and maybe hit one point and amplify it a little bit.
Well, team was the second point, and I had 10 things that revolved around team. it might mean something like having a particular team member on your staff called a patient treatment coordinator, having a person who's the designated closer, in other words. So I have a concierge that just greets people up front. We have a multi-dental practice, so we do have the ability to have 8 or 9 business assistants, so you can segregate them out. And a concierge is a team member that performs a vital function, and she can always be friendly with people and not be on the phone when people come in and things like that. But the one I want to talk about under team is that it's everybody's job in the office to schedule to go. So we have a particular type of schedule that we want to have our patients flowing into the schedule in a certain way, and everybody's got the ability to fill the schedule, not just somebody who's a front desk person in charge.
That isn't just Susan's job or Mary's job. It's everyone's job.
Even the doctor is responsible to fill the schedule. So I will go through the list of hygiene patients, and I know exactly what every one of my hygiene patients needs restoratively every day, because that's reported to us in the morning huddle. So I'm going to tell people, if I've got an opening at 10 o'clock, that I want this crown to come out of hygiene from the 8 or 9 o'clock appointment into that 10 o'clock. I verbalize it. We strategize how to talk to the patient and make it happen. And for instance, yesterday it happened. I got 2 crowns out of hygiene from an 8 o'clock patient into the 9 o'clock slot. It did improve my day.
You know, one of the concepts I've used, and we use this in my own practice, and I teach our clients to do this, is I love the idea of I've never been a titles person, you know, a person that puts a lot of weight in titles, you know, job titles and that sort of thing. However, I do think the words that we use can often create opportunity. And what I've learned in among my team and among our clients' teams is oftentimes team members don't necessarily want another job, you know, another responsibility, but everyone wants to be a champion. And so, for example, we have a whitening champion in our practice. You know, we have a periodontal therapy champion in our practice. And now that person enlists the help of her team members. It's not they're not a solo lone ranger, but they have some accountability, some responsibility, and some passion around it. And I found simply the nomenclature of, you know, a new patient coordinator champion. So there's maybe a takeaway for our listeners that try that and watch how team members will stand a little bit taller, have a little bit more pride, a little more excitement in what they're doing by being a champion.
I like it. Mm-hmm.
Hey, the next category is facility.
Big part of our practice success is the category of facility. And, you know, it's not just about the building itself, although you need a certain shape, you know, certain function, certain number of operatories. That's included in discussion here. But facility means everything that happens in the building and the way people flow through it. And so flow of patients into our practice is one of the keys that I love to talk about is the tour. We have the new patient experience that tours people, and we set it up to where it's a play, and everybody that comes in as a new patient gets to sit and kind of enjoy the play. The actors come on stage. They have their lines. They tag and spin, as my wife says. You know Sheila. She likes to teach the new patient experience.
And she teaches it masterfully.
Yeah, she's excellent. I mean, she's got everything perfectly down, and she teaches with us in our mastermind how to do that. But the tour takes them through a series of psychographic, balanced, and as Robert Cialdini says, influencing types of situations where they come through it, and they automatically will trust us. They will be believe in what we tell them. They will actually listen better, and they will feel bonded to the practice.
It's part of Cialdini's concept. He wrote a wonderful book. He wrote 2 wonderful books. One's called Influence. The other's called Persuasion. I didn't mispronounce that. We think of the word persuasion, but the book is titled Persuasion, P-R-E, Suasion. And what Bill's talking about here is that in your tour, you are subtly planting the seeds for when you present the necessary dentistry or the desired dentistry, they're already of the mindset to accept it, in part because some of the way they experience your office through the tour.
Correct.
Did I define that in a way that
it's yeah. consistent? Yes. We want people to know us before they meet us.
There you go.
We want them to be able to go deeper than just the first experience with us to be us sitting down at the hygiene chair after they've already had their teeth picked on. Such a wrong way to address people is for the dentist to make a late appointment appearance when he's been a mystery all these times and they've had their teeth cleaned, and the dentist says, "Oh, how are you? What can I do for you?" It's just the wrong way to go,
It's all wrong. Bill, this is covered well in the book, but I want to get very granular here. If any of our listeners are sitting on the fence about a cone beam, a CBCT, would you demystify that for them right now?
Yeah, it's becoming state-of-the-art and essential business tool in 2018. It's not something that's a guy's toy for just implantologists anymore. So I would tell you cone beam is going to be useful, and you should get the best one you can afford right now. It's going to change your life as digital dentistry gets more and more popular. You'll be able to integrate the radiograph with the scans, with the jaw tracking. It's going to be amazing.
Now, there might be some listeners that think, well, I'm in a big city and two blocks away, there's a imaging center. I can just send them down the street. Well, we did that at Life Smiles. That was the very same situation for us. Literally two blocks away, there was an imaging center. We could send patients down there and have imaging done. However, we quickly understood the folly of that, and we bought our own CBCT. And I can't tell you the difference it's made in practice. First of all, the patient doesn't leave our office. They don't get a lukewarm experience in an imaging center that doesn't really care about the patient. And we justify that so many times every day. So if you're on the fence, jump the fence and get one.
they don't cost you any money. Charge $400 to $600 for a cone beam. You do a lot of them, and what you find in the pathology department is going to blow your mind.
Literally, and read that segment in the book where Bill covers it in much more detail. The fourth area you talk about is a critical one, is marketing. Talk a little bit about marketing in the context of a $10,000 a day dentist.
Yeah, I kind of cut my teeth on marketing is the first thing I started telling other dentists about in the latter half of my career. And I was really big into web-centric marketing, where you focus everything back to the website. Back in the 1990s, I was doing that. 1998, I had the first website.
That's right when Al Gore invented the internet, right?
Yeah, me and Al collaborated on that together, yes.
Tongue firmly planted in cheek.
So, a lot of parts of the marketing are very critical, but one that I like to focus on is to become the center of influence in your community of each of the seven mountains of marketing. And I found that was a very effective way to generate a lot of referrals organically. Well, I didn't have to pay for people to refer to me, but I was the main dentist for the sports teams around. I was hockey dentist, team dentist for 11 years for our ECHL professional hockey team and for a lot of the high schools around. I was the main education dentist for the high schools, grammar schools, middle schools. So I would participate in the PTAs and the different associations. So we got a lot of referrals when people would have problems on the playground and knock a tooth out. I was a number one dentist in the Chamber of Commerce. Most dentists don't even play in the chamber. They just ignore it. And there was about three dentists in the chamber, but only one, us, were in the chairman's club. And so I got all the opportunities to meet with all the bigwigs of the county And it led to us being named Small Business Person of the Year for the entire county out of 20,000 businesses. And so the magnitude of exposure you get for participating, you just have to say yes to things that people have available for you to participate in. So that Seven Mountains just covers every aspect of life in a community. And if you're the main person in town, then your marketing and PR is not very hard to do. We always got over 100 patients a month, always.
Bill, I want to sort of stretch our listeners a little bit. Our listeners are likely highly technologically oriented. They're doing lots of cool things with technology. They're doing a lot of things in digital marketing. But would you share the concept of the walkabout with them? This will maybe stretch them a little bit.
Yeah. You know, when I first came to Suwannee, I couldn't get in the Yellow Pages, which was my primary marketing tool back in the 80s. So I couldn't get in there. It was the middle of the year. And so besides getting the website going, I started walking about town, meeting businessmen and walking in their places of business, introducing myself. And it was by personal introduction. And you can send your staff out to do that also. We have an organized program where we'll go into businesses and bring them prizes and gifts and things that will let us have a continual presence in their business. And you can do walkabout and create tons of goodwill, tons of relationship, which is what it's all about, building personal relationships with other businessmen and women.
And I might even contend that in the digital world that we live in, the human touch and the human contact like this has even more relevance and maybe even more value because it doesn't happen as much. Does that make any sense, Bill?
You're the rare bird if you do the walkabout.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Hey, that fifth category in the five categories on how to become a $10,000 a day dentist is capacity. Talk a little bit about capacity.
It's kind of my favorite chapter because when you talk about capacity, it's what sets apart the men and the boys, the girls and the women. It's like you are a dentist when you have a certain amount of gravitas and, you know, high capacity. So that's kind of what this is about, is how do you develop that? And so we talk about things like efficiency systems and using KPIs, because it's the use of KPIs to measure and test and measure and test that will set you apart because you know what works and what doesn't work. I talk about using masterminds to expand your capacity. I've had about 8 masterminds I've been a part of, and it's always expanded my capacity to be a better leader, communicator, manager, as well as a technical dentist. If I look at capacity, you know, it doesn't stop at being a good dentist. It actually expands beyond, and I have a chapter on balance. I want dentists to have free time. I want them to have a fun time. I want them to have personal time. I want them to have a spiritual nature. And so everything goes together to build a life. And if you have high capacity while you're at the dental office, you'll have time to do those other things, to be a good family man, to take personal time off and just refresh. It's always important to know that balance is the end goal for a lot of these things we talk about, not just making the money. It's actually how you can spend your life because you've got enough money to do the things you want.
Yeah, you're so right. You know, and we should have kind of emphasized this right at the beginning. You know, one of the things in my own practice, and I know this is true of yours, that while we have the you've added services in your practice that are higher value services, things like dental implants and adult orthodontics and sedation dentistry that are higher value because of the size of the cases and that sort of thing. However, you're consistently able to achieve a $10,000 a day result doing everyday general dentistry. And Paul is able to achieve that also doing everyday general dentistry. So this isn't like exotic, you know, dentistry where every day it's a full mouth reconstruction. Is that an accurate statement?
Yes, it is. I typically in the past would do 1 or 2 full mouth reconstructions a month. And as I tail down my work days. I'm working 2 days a week now. I don't have as many full mouth reconstructions a month because I just don't have as many days. So I might do one a month. But I'll tell you what I do. I do general dentistry all day long, and you know, it's not like I get to take the cream off the top, and all my partners and associates do the grunt work. They do as much as I do every day in terms of the type of patients they get and what they do. But I've got one technique that I have added to my practice this year that has made a dramatic impact, and it will be even bigger next year. And I'd like to tell you about that because I think our readers and our listeners here are going to be excited if they don't know about this particular general dental option.
Please.
It's called the UltraTooth, and it's a tooth replacement system. Imagine a patient coming into your practice with a number 8 central broken off at the gum line. What are your options? Bridge, partial, flipper. Most people, you know, would maybe do an implant if they're trained to do an implant, but you got to wait 3 months. Sometimes you got to bone graft it because there's no buccal plate, especially if it was a blown out endo. So you're talking 6 months of false tooth, removable something, and you got to create it that day, and that's hard to do. You don't want to cut down 2 virgin teeth on each side for a bridge. Nowadays, that's kind of like not the treatment of choice.
Sure.
Well, we found a new technique for replacing teeth that just revolutionizes that scenario. It could be a tooth also that's been missing for a while, but I'm saying the immediate replacement. Take the tooth out, put the UltraTooth in. It's an implant that has an expandable base that locks it in tighter than any other implant, and it has better properties for healing the gums. And I found a new bone cement that is a marvelous technique to fill in around where the bone's missing if there's a problem. And it's an all-in-one solution. In 1 hour, I can take an extraction to a finished product with a CERAC and done. No more visits. One visit. So if your listeners understand that, it means that you can go from extraction to implant to abutment to final impression to final crown. Or you can put a temporary crown on and bring it back in 2 or 3 weeks for the final cementation or screw in. You can do either one. That is possible routinely on about, you know, 50 to 90% of your cases now. And it's a $5,000, $6,000 treatment in that 1 hour. Makes it easy to have a $10,000 day when you have that capability. But the most important part is what the patients say and how they express their gratitude. And how many more patients they're going to refer to you when they can have a broken tooth and leave with a permanent tooth.
I can only imagine the remarkable sensation that the patient has with that and how that's going to benefit your practice geometrically. Very cool. UltraTooth.
Yeah, I put a couple of videos up on my Facebook page for people to see the patient's reactions, because as soon as I finished doing one of these front teeth replacements, and I've done several, I do a video. And, you know, you don't get the same response for somebody who gets a little filling in the back molar as you do somebody who gets a front tooth replaced that just broke off.
You know, Bill, I know that our listeners, as we kind of come into the home stretch here, want to talk about your mastermind coming up here in just a minute. But I know they're going to want to get in touch with you and get your book. How can they get the book?
We will make it available for the listeners for a period of time. So if you'll, in the next 30 days, if you'll send me a note, or if you will go to our website, solsticedentaladvisors.com/thriving, we'll give you a free copy of our 10K book. Hey. Send you an ebook.
Hey, I'll put that in the show notes. So if you're driving, don't take your hands off the wheel. Go to thrivingdentist.com. There'll be a link in the show notes. It's solsticedentaladvisors.com/thriving. That'll let Bill know that you're a listener of the Thriving Dentist Show. You'll get a free copy of the book. It's amazing. My copy is so dog-eared and half the pages are highlighted with my own notes in the margins. That's how I like to experience a physical book. But there's awesome, awesome information in here. And Bill, I know also I'd like to direct them to your Facebook page. Would you tell them a little bit about your group and your Facebook page?
10K a day dentist. 10K a day dentist. So it's a Facebook group that is open to people that apply. I'm trying to keep it to dentists, so it's not open to everybody.
Right.
So it's mostly dentists, and I have a few non-dentists that are on there because they add so much value to the group, like you, Gary. You're on there,
yep.
Of course. And what I want to do is be a place for people who want to grow their practice in a serious way. That's my focus with this particular thing. I call it the 10K a day dentists because you will be one if you hang out with us.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And if they would like to reach out, if we've got any that use email, is it okay if they reach out to you by email?
Yeah, you can always reach me at bill@solsticedentaladvisors.com.
Perfect. Hey, I'll put and that I've, in the I've, show notes. Hey, tell our listeners about the Mastermind.
The Mastermind is my flagship program to grow practices. And I just decided when I got old enough to think about being retired, what would I like to do? And so I teach dentists in a small group setting because I like what Omer did for me. He would bring a group of us in, very small number, about 9 dentists, and we would be sitting at his feet talking about what's important. And I just want to carry on the legacy that I learned out in Phoenix. So the Mastermind meets twice or 3 times a year for 2 days at our house in Atlanta. And we just go through and help dentists grow their practices based on what goals they set. And I have superior results. I'm so proud of the people that have applied the principles. I had one guy go from 0 to 2 million. He started a practice and went to 2 million in 2 years. Had another guy that added 450,000 one year, and the next year he added like 560,000. So he grew a million in a couple of years.
Wow.
And so everybody grows 200,000 or 300,000, but some people do way more. So I'm extremely happy to have a small group teaching experience that really does provide a result when people were willing to put out the effort.
Where's the best place for our listeners to get information about the Mastermind?
Same place, solsticedentaladvisors.com is my website that links to everything. And you can go /mastermind, and you'll get a page directly about the Mastermind.
Again,
Solstice Dentalist. You can put a link in there.
I'll put a link in the show notes there. Hey, Bill, I want to take a minute and just say thanks, man. I have treasured our friendship. We get an opportunity to see one another now and again. We were together in Orlando recently, back in May, and I always treasured the opportunity that you and I get to spend face-to-face, and we get the opportunity to do that a number of times each year, but I count you and Sheila as dear friends, and thanks for all that you do, man, and thank you for your commitment to help others kind of come in on your shoulders and draft, you know, kind of like NASCAR, you know, draft on your wake. And anyway, thank you, Bill. Thanks for all that you do, man.
It's wonderful to contact with you again, Gary, and say hello to Teresa. Y'all have a wonderful, wonderful fall. And if we meet somewhere again, we'll throw back one and think about all the good years we've had.
Absolutely. Yeah, Teresa and I are on our way to Newport Beach. I'm speaking at an implant conference. We're on our way to Newport Beach literally right now. So on that note, Bill, thank you. And I want to take a minute and thank our listeners. I sure appreciate each and every one of you. We have listeners now in 168 countries. 3 things you can do to support our work. Number one, you can tell a colleague about the Thriving Dentist Show. Many dentists have never heard the word podcast. Hey, tell them about it. Tell them about the Thriving Dentist Show. Secondly, you can write us a review on iTunes. If you haven't done it already, please jump on there and do that. That helps us a ton. It helps dentists find us. And the third thing that you can do is you can hit subscribe. You can do that on iTunes. You can do that on Google Play. If you hit the subscribe button, it means every Wednesday when we upload a new show, it'll automatically be uploaded to your listening device, and you'll never miss a future show. On that note, let me take a minute and thank you for the privilege of your time and tell you I would look forward to connecting with you on the next Thriving Dentist Show.
When you cry, be sure to dry your eyes, 'cause better days are sure to come. And when you smile, be sure to smile wide, and don't let them know that they have won. And when you walk, walk with pride, don't show the hurt inside, because the pain will soon be gone. When you dream, dream big, as big as the ocean blue. When you dream, it might come true. When you dream, dream big.